You're listening to Kiwi Roots Rugby Podcast. Let's go!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode 26 of the Kiwi Roots Rugby Podcast, where we discuss the hard-hitting, fast-paced, and no-nonsense game of rugby union. I'm your host for this episode, Scott Poynton, and I'm joined by our other regular host, the one and only Felix Filippo. Unfortunately, Adam is away today, as he is only a fortnightly feature on the show. However, we have gone to our reserves bench and found a doozy of a replacement stumbling around the streets of Wellington. One of our good mates hailing from Rongotai College and playing out of the mighty Oriental Rongotai Club in Wellington, where some of our legends of the game, past, present, and emerging, have come from. This man is possibly another one, depending who you ask, maybe for all the wrong reasons.
Let's go.
Welcome to the show, Sone Finai. Welcome, mate.
Oh, thank you, Scott. What an intro, mate. Jeez.
I worked on that
a few times, mate.
I spent all afternoon typing that up.
See what COVID's done to you, over there, mate. Jeez. Yeah.
The brain cells are on fire. No.
Awesome.
Yeah, no. Really cool to have you.
Thanks for the awesome welcome, mate. A long-time listener, and I'm excited to have a yarn about these games over the weekend, mate.
Good man, good man. And you're right, it was an exciting weekend. But before we start the show, I just want to give a massive congratulations to the Fijiana Drua for winning their first Super Rugby Women's title. Yep, what do you call it? Put the applause in there somewhere. Going undefeated, actually, in their debut season, beating the long-standing favourites, the New South Wales Waratahs, 32-26. Talk about a debut season. Have you guys ever heard of such a thing? Anyway. In today's show, we will be following suit with Super Rugby's Super Round, and instead of having one game of the week, we will be doing a super episode covering all the games that played out over the weekend. A super episode. So I hope you boys are ready for this one, and all you listeners out there. So let's start by just getting each other's thoughts on the weekends. Did you guys enjoy the rugby? Any surprises? Felix, throw to you first, mate.
Oh, look, anytime all these teams gather into one location and put on a show like that, you've got to be happy. I surely was. I loved the quality of the rugby that was being played. And I guess I was right last weekend when I mentioned that the teams were going to stay true to the attacking identities and put on a show for us. So, I mean, there were some big scores racked up over the weekend, and I was not disappointed. How about you, Sonny?
Oh, man. To be a Super Rugby supporter living in Melbourne, I would have loved to go and watch all those games. Yeah, it's the first time it's ever happened, and, man, I would have loved to be there watching every game, not on the couch, but exciting games, not all great tries, and heaps to go through on this podcast. So great weekend for rugby. Mm. Rugby is the winner.
Rugby is the winner. Totally agree. Well, let's slowly dip our toes in the water and go through the results over the weekend. So, Felix, can you take us through what transpired over the weekend?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, there were some big scores racked up, and none bigger than the Chiefs scoring 51 points over the trying Waratahs, who only scored, 27 points. Unfortunately, the Moana Pacifica and the Western Force game was cancelled due to COVID issues in the Force camp. Would like to see that one played at a later date. And on the Saturday, we were treated to some more amazing rugby, where the top of the table, Blues, played a helter-skelter match against the promising Fijian and Drua. Blues coming out on top 35-18. Later on that evening, the Hurricanes, scared a little bit by the arguably the best Australian side, Queensland Reds, but they held on for a 30-17 victory. And Sunday also didn't disappoint. We saw the first Australian team, the Brumbies, get up over the Highlanders 28-17. And later on that afternoon, the defending champions, Crusaders, racked up another big score, 42 points to the Melbourne Rebels 17. There you have it, folks.
Fantastic. Thanks, Felix. Now let's take ourselves down to Army Park in Melbourne and relive what transpired over the weekend and dive into the first game of the round. The highly anticipated game between the Chiefs and the Waratahs. But the Chiefs look to be dominant, the dominant team for the majority with 58% possession, and 48% of that was in the Waratahs' half, which is amazing. Tupai was a beast on the wing, not only dominating his opposition 15 to crash over for a nice try in the corner, but even showing ex-player turned ref Nick Berry. What's up? how often does that happen, eh? Like, I don't know. But
there, there should be 2 points to the Chiefs, say, for hitting the ref.
I'm surprised they didn't get a yellow for that, to be honest, but here we go anyway. Yeah, the Chiefs looked to be very strong with ball in hand, getting really good meters, you know, after contact with most carries. But Sonia, let's start with you. Do you think the Waratahs struggled with the physicality and the pace the Chiefs were bringing to the game?
The physicality of the game was quite intense. I think that the Chiefs showed a lot of muscle up forward with the likes of Inaba Isokula and Va'ai, but I didn't think personally that the Waratahs were up for the challenge. They do have size, they do have power, but they couldn't match up to the Waratahs. Obviously, you saw it there with the first yellow card to Jake Gordon. Just getting things wrong, getting the little things wrong with that yellow card with the tip tackle. Which caused a lot of problems early on. With a red card in the first, 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Man, that puts your team off the rails straight away, and you're in fighting mode to survive, you know?
Yeah.
So
that was a big key moment early on in the game. So, and that's what I reckon threw the Waratahs off straight away.
Yeah, Angus Bell, he's one of their big ball runners, eh? If you've watched a lot of their games. And I think with him gone missing, they were sort of not sure who to give the ball to. It's almost what it seemed like. Because man, he's big for a 21-year-old fella, eh? I was having a look today and I was like, hey!
Huge!
Yeah.
He's massive. You don't make rugby players like that anymore, man. But he's popping out of Aussie somewhere. He's farmers, man. Totally.
Oh, it was a nice surprise. Felix, what did you think about the game, mate?
Yeah, just touching on what Sonny said, I'll probably just say that the Waratahs showed plenty of fight. Yes, the cards don't help. And in that 20-minute red card period, the Chiefs racked up 22 points. When that happens on you, like Sonny said, you're just in survival mode. But credit to the Waratahs who clawed it all the way back. Once they had, once parity was restored, what was it? They came all the way back. Was it 27-30 at one stage? They're only like 3 points behind.
Right in it.
And they were right in it. They had all the momentum. And I think it was around about that same time the Chiefs just brought on fresh legs and they were able to maintain that physicality that they established earlier in the game. And just, I think it was a bit too much and a bit of a worrying sign for these Aussie teams because, the Waratahs weren't the only ones who sort of fell off the cab around the 60, 65-minute mark. Yeah. But, man, there were plenty of standouts in this game, man. I really liked what I saw from, I mean, you mentioned Quinn Tupai playing out of position. He was immense. Jonah Lowe, probably mention his name a little bit later on. Who else? Alex Nankerville, like really putting up his hand for higher honours. And like, I'm just going to throw this one out there. Probably a little bit controversial, but perhaps the All Blacks seriously need to consider the youth movement in Tupou Va'ai and Josh Lord. These two are absolute ballers. And I wouldn't mind having them as our starting locks moving forward. Eh? They were immense and a huge part of that physicality from the Chiefs. Also
starting All Blacks.
Yeah, bro. They are the real deal, man. Watch this space. Bro.
Wow. Controversy. Early on.
Bro, give them their shot, man. Give them their shot.
You're lying.
Metallica and Whitelock, you're old, man.
Yeah. Well, Metallica hasn't seen a lot of game time either.
What you could do is go youth and veteran. So you could play Retallick and Josh Lord together, and then you can play Whitelock and Scott Barrett together. I just don't think we can afford having, bro, we're going so far off topic here. I just don't think you can have both Retallick and Whitelock on the field anymore. But to bring it all back, you know, we love a good All Blacks chat, and but we should probably focus on some of the Aussies who stood out in this Waratahs game. And man, look no further than Josh Gordon. Talk Jake about Gordon. Someone.
Jake.
Oh, Josh is a...
Josh is his cousin.
Winston Peters moment.
His cousin Jake Josh.
Gordon, my notes are off. Apologies, guys. Like, talk about a captain leading from the front. He did exactly what Artie does and says, hey, this team, someone in this team's got to make a play. And he made two stunning tries. And was a huge part of that Waratahs fight back. I probably was a little bit gutted that they didn't get up over the Chiefs. But all in all, I was really, really happy with the first game of the Trans-Tasman League, eh?
Yeah, I think that what you're talking about, Jake Gordon, had a hell of a game as a halfback, probably the best halfback from Australia this weekend.
Yeah.
So what I like about the Chiefs, they've been doing this all throughout the Super Rugby round, is that they've always been skip passing from 9 straight to centre, or 10 straight to centre. And obviously Jake Gordon done his homework, because it worked a few times in the first half, but then in the second half, how he read that from miles away and he got that intercept, eh? Man, it takes a captain to read the game and just flip and turn the game upside down. But not enough to beat the Chiefs.
Like, the pendulum swung so radically in this game. It was like, you know, when the red and yellow cards happen, I was like, oh my gosh, it's only 20 minutes and it's like 22-3. We're in for a bloodbath. And then the comeback happens, and then another blowout happens to end the match. I thought, well, what the heck? You're playing with my emotions, guys. Look, what's going on? Look, a bit of a controversial statement, but they should probably consider like dropping Jamie Roberts. He got that yellow card. He did not help his team whatsoever. And you know, that that intercept that he threw for, was it Jonah Lowe's third or fourth try?
Yeah.
Dude, you can tell he had that play just locked in his head, and he's cocked that pass just behind his back, and he's looked over, seen him. A player of that experience knows not to throw the long pass, give it short, and just help your team out, because at that stage it was still 30-27. Help your team up by making smart plays or just crash it up yourself. He had a shocker of a game, man, and wouldn't be surprised if he's on the bench or probably dropped altogether, eh?
Yeah. No, you're right. The Waratahs certainly had some of their woes, but, I mean, the Chiefs, you know, they were inaccurate in some of their own areas as well. I mean, do they need to be better in this competition if they want to be serious contenders? You know, we've got an intercept try. We've got a missed tackle by Tarval before half time that led to a try, and then 15 turnovers conceded. Like, the handling in this game and probably throughout all the games was pretty poor. But do they need to be better to win this competition? What do you guys think? What do you, Sonny?
I think they still got to get their Chiefs, still got to get their set piece is awesome, but they still got to get the right team on. See, They'd have Weber, who's playing awesome at halfback, but when he's not there, they need another halfback to step up to make crucial plays and direct the forwards. Mm. These forwards, they're really strong. You know, Luce Trio, awesome. Sam Cam's playing amazing right at the moment. So they just need the right directors and obviously some wingers. But, you know, what's his name? Tapia played awesome on the wing, so he might stay there the whole season. But Yeah, need better wingers, more wingers, sorry, because obviously a lot of them are injured, and just more control from the nine when Weber's not there.
Nice. Good addition. I think we'll leave it there, guys, and we should move along to the next game, which was the Blues versus the Drua. So look, this was a, you know, courageous effort by the Drua. You know, we saw them control the areas that they could. And from what I could see from a, you know, sort of high level point of view was the way they that they wanted to attack, which was almost like an attack from anywhere style. And their physicality that they could bring to the game. And, you know, the Blues really did show some nerves of steel to still take the win with only 38% possession. And they turned the ball over 19 times. So, you know, they certainly gave the Drua a lot of opportunity. But, you know, yeah, Phyllis, was it just me or did it seem like the Blues were missing their punch this week and we may have seen them get out-muscled in this one?
May have seen. Mate, I've got the Drua completely dominating the breakdown. Eh? They were, you said it, their physicality, and they brought that in spades and it didn't stop from minute zero all the way through. And I love that. For me, this was the most entertaining game purely because you just had two teams just playing like really exciting footy. Ultimately the Blues showed that they just have more tricks than the Drua. If you're going to take away some of the attacking options of the Blues, like a Mark Talia, who had a slightly off game, he seemed a little bit rattled like from the outset. Players like AJ Lamb will step up. I think, man, the way the Fijian Drua deployed the short kicking game, they put on an absolute masterclass and perhaps showed the rest of the competition that there are chinks in this competition leading Blues armor. But that's typical of like a season and how teams develop, and we're starting to see a certain side of the Blues where they're having to dig in deep to grind out some ugly wins, and they certainly did that this week. Sonny, I could keep going on about this game because there are so many standouts, so many excellent plays. What was your perspective on this match, bro?
So the Drua, to me, they are the real lunchtime rugby to me. The real lunchtime rugby, just play what's in front.
Yeah.
I wonder what their trainings are like, eh? Like structure play? No structure.
Just touch.
Play touch.
Yeah. Do they even play off a ball?
I shouldn't have said it. Sorry, boys. Yeah, but only non-Polynesian here. Jesus.
Racist. Nah.
Moldy boy in the corner.
Even they, like things of the Fijian boys, wet weather rugby, they're awesome. Dry weather rugby, they're awesome as well because they play in the islands, man. That's the only way they play. But back to the game. I thought the Fijians did a lot of their homework early on. Which every team, well, every New Zealand team I see now is that a lot of their wingers and even their fullbacks push on the outside on the wing to cut out all the long balls out to the wingers. Obviously, the fullback for the Drua saw that early and gave that chip. Who does a chip in the first 5 minutes, eh?
I know, eh? Ballsy.
It's crazy. These guys got balls to do anything from anywhere, which I love. It keeps the game exciting. Yeah. So, great game from the Blues. The only thing I think that topped up the Blues was more structure at the end. Compared to lunchtime rugby with the Fijians. But it goes to show that the Blues are, like I said, with the Chiefs, they're struggling for a backup halfback as well.
I think
that the halfback Funaki didn't. You could see on TV he was nervous, you know? So and Fijians loved it. So a lot of work on, but hopefully Drua comes back stronger next week.
Nice. Absolutely. I think like the Blues actually got really lucky in this game because if you look at the tries they did score, two of them were off mistakes from the Drua, actually. Intercept tries or a scoop and, one from, what's his name, AJ Lamb, and then one from Rico Ioane. But if you take off those two tries, it's a 3-point ball game and it's game on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hard out.
One big headline throughout the week was Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Did he impress? I mean, you're our back experts on air. We're both forwards here. Give us your perspective, mate.
Well, yes, I am an expert back, but I look like a forward. Roger played well. I think it's always nervous coming back with a shoulder injury to come back and then tackle some Fijian guys. Eh? If you want to come back from injury shoulder, you want to go play in Japan, man. Softer there, you know. But coming back and playing against Fijian boys was a big ask. But I think he did his core roles well.
Yeah.
Defense was important, so he tackled well, didn't do anything stupid or silly, and he passed well. So that's all you can ask for your game, your comeback game. So did quite well.
Is he a shoo-in for the All Blacks?
I don't know. I think give him time like they gave Nani Lomape.
Yep.
Just to develop on the game.
Yeah, it's his game IQ or rugby IQ that's probably missing at the moment, eh? Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a lot of time, man.
Yeah.
He'll be the standout 12 or 13 come in the next 2 years. Yeah. You heard it here first.
Yeah, let's go.
Nice.
Here we podcast. See you.
And before we move on, talking about physical games, have you guys got any memories of some of the most physical games or teams that you've played in the past, whether it's a college team or a club team?
There's always the schools, Adam Potidora or the Hato.
Yeah, I was thinking Bishop VR, eh? They're like under the fence when they got like full on beards.
Sad to the VR listeners.
Yeah.
St. Bernard's, crazy.
But I remember one time when we were playing Bishop Beard, right? I think you were playing this game too, Felix, and you might have got injured in this one as well, sadly.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that. And I was on the sideline, and the Bishop Beard kicked it out, and the sideline, the touchy, put the flag up, but he was like 5 meters, like off the mark, and it was just like Polynesian dad. And I was like, hey, what are you doing? And then Daniel Aono, he goes to me, no, just leave it. I was like, okay. I took the signs. All right, sure it was there. I'm pretty sure it was there, yeah.
Are you sure he was a dad or he was a student?
Yeah. Still there.
I had a lot of those games, man. It was St. Bernard's stream. No, not stream, it was more like Viard.
Some big, big boys, eh?
All those other schools that had 5 dads on their team.
Nice. All right, let's shuffle along. Let's keep the ball rolling to the Hurricanes and the Reds. So, look, this match for me had every Hurricanes fan tearing their hair out, or what's left of it after this bloody season. In the first 35 minutes, I mean, we had a pretty good chat group going on. It was firing up. First 35 minutes, 2 yellow cards, 17 unanswered points. I was ready to throw in the towel, to be honest with you, and it almost seemed like the ref had a bloody Waratahs jersey under his own shirt.
He did.
However, from the 35th minute, after Sullivan's first try, the Reds and the Reds' yellow card for a high shot on Ardy, the boys actually managed to sort out their woes and score 30 unanswered points to show us that, potentially they could be a competition-winning side. You never know. But I think Coach Jason Holland sums things up quite nicely in his post-match interview, and he stated, "It took a while for us to adjust to a few things, and what we've learned is that position is key. So when we got that right and we sorted out some discipline, we were able to adapt and get into the game. So I'm happy with that." Sonny, how did you see this game? Do you agree with Jason Holland's comments? Did the Reds ever have a chance, in your opinion? What do you think, mate?
So the game was early, took the Hurricanes to get the ball rolling after those penalties early on. Ill discipline, like you said, with those yellow cards. Was it to the prop? What's his name?
Lomax?
Bodie and Rackety Stones.
Rackety Stones.
Rackety Stones. Rackety, yeah. So his one was a tough one, I think.
Yeah.
I listened to your podcast last week about ill discipline and about all the late shoulder charges and shoulders to the head. I do agree with safety first, yeah, but at the same time, these are professional athletes and they've got like half a second to change from this, from up here to, you know, around the waist. So unless you're flipping Flash, flipping's not going to happen. But back to the game. Back to the game. Slow start from the Canes, but really proud of how they come from 17 points down to wins 30-17. And no one like Artie, man, can carry a team like that. As soon as he got hit high,
yeah,
the man turned the switch on. He was like, yep, bring it. Yep. It's like those guys at college, eh? Running straight. Yeah, running straight. And then you flip the switch at game time. So that's what Artie proved, that he's a great leader, at least by example, in words, by actions. So that was
talking about on the game. Since you've brought up Artie, can I put this out there? Are we actually watching a legend of the game, do you guys think? I mean, look at this list of players here, right? Jonah Lomu, Richie McCaw, Dan Carter, Sean Fitzpatrick, Michael Jones, Wayne Buck Shelford, and then Artie Savea. Does that just slot in there quite nicely?
I forget what interview it was. This is during their championship run, and was it 16 or was it the year before in 15 when they lost in the final, and he was interviewed because he was having such a good season. Like, he made it known back then precisely what his goal was, and he wants to be one of these guys. He wants to be like one of the greats, and he's well on his way to do so. I know we talk about him a lot and how he scores these fantastic tries and things like that. I think we've got to remember, you know, when someone like a Will Jordan or Jordy Barrett or Rico Ioane goes and makes a 20-meter break and scores a magnificent try, their backs, they're supposed to be doing that. We're looking at a open side flanker who's playing out of position, who loves to stand on the wing and is doing exactly the same thing as what these guys are doing, as well as keeping to his traditional core roles as being a loose forward and still doing that at a elite level.
Yeah.
This guy's a unicorn. I've said it before. He's a hybrid. He can do just about everything. And I mean, who was that guy that got him in the head high tackle from the Reds?
It was their number 6, I think.
Yeah, the blindsider. Yeah. I forget his name, but it's like, dude, what are you thinking? Poking the bear like that. Like, you know he's already got a crazy engine and you're just gonna have to rev it up a bit more, and you did not need to make that play whatsoever. And gosh, it just completely flipped the game on its head, because all they had to do was just see up the end of like the first half, they're up 17-0, and you know that they had a lucky bounce with the the Sullivan try.
Yeah,
when Julian Savia tried to intercept, go backwards, and then the Reds just stopped playing. Come on, whatever happened to play to the whistle, guys?
Yeah.
And then we're not right back in the game. It's what, 17-5, but then the yellow card happens. It gives us an attacking opportunity from halfway. It goes all the way down to the 22, and what do you know? There's a rolling ball, and what's his name?
Lomax.
Gets in, you know, they turn down the 3 and get maximum points, and boom, it's 14-7 going into halftime. Like, how the heck does that, a title chasing team like the Reds let this happen in the last 5 minutes of the first half? It's unheard of, man.
Yeah, you would have been pissed off if you were the Reds coach, eh? Should have been
17-0, and it's like, bro, just close it out.
Freaking Brad Ford and gave everyone a hiding after the game.
No court sessions, boys.
Yeah, the last coach took back to E. Go scream back at the coach and, hey, you get a hiding from your coach.
Obviously, his motivational speech wasn't enough, however, because they went and scored like a minute into the second half with Lomax again. So
It's pretty rough because the Hurricanes are that team. Is they just need one try. Yeah. They need one try, and then they get their tails up, because I don't know about you guys, but I thought a couple of those calls in that that first half was perhaps the referee being a bit too trigger happy with his whistle away. But that's rugby.
Angus rugby Fowey.
Who?
The ref. Ref loved his whistle, man.
Yeah, I feel bad for the Reds because they've come up against, you know, a Hurricanes team that's found some form and who have dealt with adversity at just about every single game of their season. So they're kind of used to this, eh? But yeah, I picked wrong, Scotty, last week.
Yeah,
so the Reds. Yeah. I picked the Reds. You know why I picked the Reds? Because I knew this referee controversy would happen. And the first half, I was like, yes, I knew this was going to happen. Yeah. I had faith in the boys, not in the referee.
I seen you in the Hurricanes top, Felix. And you're supporting the Reds, mate. What's going on?
Look, I expected them to be, you know, the championship team that headstrong.
Catfish, man.
Oh, look, they were definitely missing Jordan Pitaia and James O'Connor. Yeah. They needed leadership in that second half and a bit of X factor, and they just did not get that from their team. But, you know, guys like Hunter Paisami were just doing everything they could to get their team across the line, and fortunately just wasn't enough, hey?
Yeah, I think that Te Kaumaka Howden, number six, he came on. He started because Reed Princep got injured in the warm up.
Yeah.
So I think he played outstanding for someone to come in last minute. The thing with the Hurricanes at the moment is that they don't have they've got Ari at the back, but they don't have six or seven cemented in their spots yet. So they've been chopping and changing with Dupes, Duplessis coming in and out. I think he's injured at the moment. Or Reed Princep, but then you've got the Aucklander, what's his name?
Blake Gibson
coming in. He's doing not too bad.
Yeah, he's good. He's good, man.
But if we had three Ardies, man, that would be awesome.
I think we all wish that.
15 Ardies.
Bro, do you know what that reminds me of? Who remembers playing Jonah Lomu rugby and selecting Team Jonah? Oh, that was OP, bro.
Lomu. Team Jonah.
Lomu. Lomu.
Overpowered, man. Too good.
I'm talking like I played it. I wasn't allowed a PlayStation.
Oh, bro. Biggest glitch ever, man. Unfair.
Humble again. Love it. One thing we probably need to talk about is the battle between Tate McDermott and TJ Pettinara. Who do you guys, quickly, who do you think won this battle, TJ or Tate? Felix, go for it.
Well, Tate was everywhere, wasn't he? And he did not give up. And was, you know, he was instrumental in, you know, guiding their team, like, with good quality ball. It's not really his fault that the rest of his team can't punch over the, you know, the gain line and help him out a bit. I think he slightly edges Pettinara in this one. It hurts to say because I really love TJ's game. What do you guys think?
Tate
McDermott.
I love his game, man. I think he's bringing back the old school way of how halfbacks play. He's similar to TJ. They love to pick and go.
Yeah.
Give that big dummy and trying to go down in the middle. Australians haven't had that style in a long time.
Yeah.
Since Gregan. He's a running halfback, which I love to see. I agree with you, Felix. He tipped out TJ, but yeah, it's kind of hard though because their forward pack Rick Dale,
which is crap in Samoa. It's crap in Samoa if you don't know what that means, to put it politely.
But yeah, Tate got the nod for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think for TJ Pitanara, I agree with you, Felix. I'm a big fan of him as well. But I think the game's almost moved on from the way he plays. I could be wrong, but these days it seems to be the team that can clear that ball pretty quick out of the ruck and get good go for the ball seems to be the ones that are making all the breaks and scoring all the tries. And it's quite evident when Jamie Booth comes on. The game just speeds up for the Hurricanes, and all of a sudden there's holes just being generated everywhere. I mean, TJ could help himself a little bit more if he would, he used to sort of do some more pick and goes himself. He's a really good running game, but we're not seeing that a lot. I think I saw him make one break up the middle, but maybe he should be working on doing that a little bit more to try and hold that defense a little bit more, so they're not sort of like just going up and straight out to the, to that pod of runners or the first five and putting that pressure on. So I think, unfortunately, I think Tate wins this one in my books as well. So well done, Tate McDermott. You get a Kiwi Roots Rugby podcast sticker. The merch is coming out, ladies and gentlemen. All righty. Let's shuffle along, eh? Let's go to the Highlanders and the Brumbies. Another tough loss for the hard-nosed Highlanders from the deep south. The Brumbies were the favourites in this match, and although the Landers didn't go down easy, the Brumbies lived up to expectation. Their big-time players in Noah Lolesile, who is returning back from a five-week injury, and Nick White paired up pretty well to keep the blue and white Stallions trotting forwards and the scoreboard ticking over in their favour. The Brumbies back row, Pete Samu, Jerome Brown and Rob Valentini also did a lot of heavy lifting and proved to be quite difficult to put down. Whilst veteran prop Scotty Seat looked to be uncharacteristically dangerous, running the ball off set piece. I was sort of wondering who that was, and who was Scotty Seat? Yeah.
Scotty Seat.
What a run. But look, the Highlanders did stay in the fight throughout and started to make a bit of a notorious comeback that would have been one for the history books. But the door was slammed shut by Lolesio after a really great team try. Felix, we're going to jump to you. Should other New Zealand teams be worried about this Brumbies outfit? What do you think, mate?
Yeah, they totally should be. And they showed that they've got something that the Queensland Reds don't have, and that is composure and poise. That's what saw them through this game. They didn't panic when they had the lead. I certainly saw that from a couple of the other Aussie teams, the Reds in particular, and they just knew how to sustain pressure and how to put pressure on the Highlanders. You know, when things aren't going your way, no one's really making a big play, you just need to stay in those micro battles, keep winning those, and eventually the gaps open up like they did in this game. Really liked what I saw from the Brumbies loose trio. And we did mention last week, Scotty, we picked the Brumbies against the Highlanders. So, yeah, glad we got one right. But purely because, and they lost that physicality battle, just not having, their star Lucy's and Mikiele Tu'u and Shannon Frizzell. And I think for me, like, this was a bit of a coming out party for Noah Lolesio. We've been critical of this guy in the past, just showing periods of like his inexperience and rushing plays or making the wrong plays. And this weekend, he looked like a solid bona fide star who's ready to command this team to higher honors. So I don't know, Noah Lolesio, have you been listening to the podcast, taking on the feedback?
That's
amazing, Greg, because I don't know what you guys thought, but he was like, for me, perhaps the man of the match in this game. And who else was good? Oh, that Jerome Brown guy scored a try. Woof.
Yo.
Man, that guy can muscle up, eh? This Brumbies team have got just a good core of people. And you know what? They're going to build on from this, take a lot of confidence heading into next week's game against our Hurricanes, which should be a bloody cracker. So, Sonny, I might see a little bit differently from you. What do you make of this game, man?
I agree with you with a lot of the what you said about Lola Seal. The way he's matured over the years, it's starting to come out in his game. Like, doing the basic rights is really important as a team and controlling your team. I think that he's grown a lot in confidence, trusting his inside defenders and just trusting the processes of the game. The older you get, the wiser you get with your game, obviously, and it's showing out there with Lola Seal. But yeah. The loose forwards of the Brumbies, and I think they're peaking. I think the Brumbies team's peaking at the moment.
Yeah.
With the captain, Alan Alalatoa, doing his core roles. And you got Wallabies props, Alan Alalatoa and Scott Seal. Then you've got Slipper. The Wallabies, James Slipper. And he's got the Lucies. Man, you got it all. So, yeah. Good win against Highlanders C team. Actually, like great win, but you played the Highlanders C team. Missing like key players like Aaron Smith. Fakatawa did all right. I think Fakatawa needs just more game time and more opportunity. Hard place to go to get game time when you're behind Aaron Smith, man.
Yeah.
But he's done well. I think we saw great signs from Thomas Umanga Jensen. Yes. His timing onto the ball and how he runs lines is awesome. Amazing. If he can get that combination perfect with his partner, then man, be unstoppable.
Yeah, nice. You made an interesting point there around squad depth. Do you think that's the key to winning this competition?
Yeah, I think it's important to have. It's good to give those guys that Fakatawa and those guys a crack, because man, everyone knows that you're one injury away from your season done or your career done, you know?
Yeah.
So good to have that, good guys to go to have a taste and have a feeling on how Super Rugby's played at the moment. But important to have that, because it's a long season, man. Especially when you're playing Fijian guys. Getting hit every day, man.
Yeah, no doubt. But what about you, Felix? Do you think that the Highlanders still have what it takes to make top eight?
I think so. Just I think the top seven is pretty secure at this phase. And it's just going to be a scrap for that last position. They've been there or thereabouts in all of their games. I think the Highlanders probably suffer from a disease, which I'm going to make the name up of, like a team full of grafters and not enough X factor. You know, they probably just need guys like who's their winger from Taranaki, his debut season, his Daiwai. Name. Yes, Masasi Daiwai. I know he's a rookie. He's showing little bits here and there, but he's probably got a chance to really make a name for himself, and expecting some of that X factor on the second half of this competition. And yeah, I just, depth is so important, you know, just how many teams score more points around that 60 minute mark due to those fresh legs coming off the pine. So yeah, watch the space. Highlanders may upset some people. It's going to make for an interesting ride.
Yeah. Talking about X Factor, do you think that they're really missing Jonah Nariki this season, Phil?
Yeah, 100%. They got no problem in the set piece. They're quite fine with the battle up front. It's in the backs. You know, guys like Thomas Umanga Jensen need help. I mentioned earlier about Mosesa Dawai probably hasn't blossomed as quickly as they probably hoped. And they just need some more firepower, because they can get you in good positions and then the backs are not doing their job or not doing a good enough job to support the rest of the team. So it just adds to the argument over how do you construct the team full of workers or X factors. You actually need the perfect combination of both. So, yeah, I wish him a speedy recovery, and we need him out there.
Good man. And before we move along, I just want to make one more mention. Marty Banks, yeah. Smash him, bro!
Smash him!
Man.
All right, have anyone got any memorable smash and bro moments? I've got one.
I love that.
Oh, no, not me.
Has anyone got one? I got one.
I got one. Let's talk about Scott.
Oh, go on.
What's your one?
It's not me. It's one like etched in my brain forever. Which is, you guys are probably there. Remember when Jerome Vai smashed that guy with that lock or winger, whatever it was, from Marlborough? Nelson Boys. And Nelson his white hair went flying forward and the sweat flew off and it was like...
everyone was on a Wednesday.
Yeah, everyone was like, oh, shit, is that right?
Oh, man. Jerome was angry because his dad didn't give him lunch. So he took it out of the Nelson Boys. I think I remember.
Was James Marshall playing that game? Was he was first five that game, wasn't he?
I think he was playing that game, yeah.
Bro, I remember him, bro. I remember him when I seen him suit up for the Canes. I was like, bro, where have I seen this guy before? And the name rings a bell. That was him in the Nelson College versus thing.
Yeah.
If not that game. The one Scotty when we went down there and played them at their school.
Yeah,
we had the tradition done.
I remember getting picked up. Hey, like I tried to hit it up and I got like just picked up like a freaking peg on the shoulder. He just picked me up as I threw it past the board and I was like, does that still count? Like, do I get wasted? Because I passed the ball. But
I remember one smash was huge. I'll never forget. It was in we played in Marlborough Boys under 15s. And we did the haka against Marlborough, and I led the haka, and then remember the prop being massive, Scott? We were billeted, and he stayed with Julian. Julian went and stayed with him, but he literally came with like a pig on his shoulder and picked up Julian. Oh, this guy's huge. And then he spat in my face during the haka, and then your brother did the kickoff, and he caught it. And Julian came and smashed him. And then first play of the game, then the ambulance came on the field to take him away.
Oh, yes. Saved us. Julian to the rescue.
And I was like, don't spit in my face again. Thanks, Jules.
Yeah. Is that why he's on the ground unconscious, can't get up? That's thanks, all you Jules. Get.
Cook a man while he's down, eh?
Oh, no. I couldn't do anything else.
That's how we do it in 44, isn't it?
Oh. Well, you're not wrong.
You didn't deny it. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, let's shuffle along to the final game of the round. Crusaders versus the Rebels. To be honest, it looked like the Crusaders pretty much gave us everything we expected and more in this match, you know.
Yeah.
They looked dangerous from the fourth minute with a disallowed try to Fanganuku. Which I might add is looking dangerous in every game he plays. But look, they finally broke through in the 19th minute with Richie Mo'unga slicing through to set up Cullen Grace for one of their six tries, the Crusaders' tries. But the Rebels managed to hold out to halftime, only going into the break 7-3. But too many errors by the Rebels. It seemed like there was butterfingers on the menu. And a relentless Crusaders attack piled on the points to take this one pretty comfortably. So, Sonny, we're crossing live to you, mate. So how do you rate the Crusaders' performance in this one?
Like you said, mate, it was turnover city, man.
Yeah.
It was butterfingers on order with naan bread and a drink, mate, you know? It was a hard game to watch early on with a lot of the turnovers. It was scrum after scrum. Man, the props got their money's worth, man. They really played hard. It was a good game by the Chiefs came along. Oh, Chiefs. The Crusaders, sorry. they came off the win, but it took them a long time to get there. It took a while for the forwards to get things going. You had guys like Sam Whitelock, who hardly makes mistakes, making a lot of mistakes out there. But when they started getting along, man, they're an unstoppable team. Got players like you said, Lester. He could look like he can play 12 or anywhere, matter of fact. He was carrying that team hard, running hard, and pretty much the Rebels, they got hard done by when Matt Tomoa got injured, got a head knock. So it was hard for them with a great leader like Matt Tomoa to go off early on and not come back in the game. So big ups to the Rebels for holding it together in the first half, but then no big ups for you in the second half. Yes. So what did you take on the game, Felix?
Pretty much the same, man. Like, I had my pen like on the paper like for the first 40 minutes and I didn't write anything. It was hard. Like, it was so hard to write about that first half. Like, we can just completely forget what happened there. And I think just generally, like, for most of the Kiwi teams, you know, coming over to Aussie and playing new opposition, it's, you're always going to have that period of, like, sussing your opponent out. I just didn't expect the Crusaders to take a full 40 minutes to get, a good read on the Melbourne Rebels. But we saw in that second half when they just started racking up the score, all their star players really stood out. Some of them coming back from injury. Overall, like, we called it last weekend, this was going to be a bloodbath of a show, and that's what the Crusaders did. They were just ruthless in that second half, where they were taking these half gaps and just exploiting them for like maximum gain down the other end. So I probably want to spend more time talking about star players such as like Lester Fainga-Nuku, who, you know, we love a good All Blacks chat on the Kiwi Roots podcast. And I think even if he comes off the bench, he certainly looks the goods. He's probably right up there as far as Super Rugby MVPs with Artie Savea, Will Jordan, Rika Ioane, Bowden Barrett. You know, all these stars are really starting to show what they're made of. And what's interesting about him is like he's sort of coming out and saying he's more than just a power rugby player. He's got silky smooth skills as well. And he's super young as well. So I don't know. I don't think he was the only standout in this game. There was probably more. Scotty, who did you have that really stood out for you from the two sides?
Probably looking at around there, Lucy's, Ethan Blackadder and Pablo Mateta. Pablo Mateta probably had his best game in the red and black jersey this week. Pretty dangerous down the sideline. And you know, he carried on similar form from his previous week. So it was really nice to see him running down the edges, making some breaks, and then giving off some pretty uncanny passes that only an Argentinian could make. But and then Ethan Blackadder, I mean, he's just a workhorse and he's everywhere. And it was nice to see him in the number 7 jersey this week, actually. You know, just adds another feather to his cap and, you know, just adds to his strength as, you know, pretty much an automatic All Black in the upcoming years to come. But I want to go back to sort of Lester Fainga-Nuku and that sort of number 12 spot, because I was watching a breakdown after these round of games and they were talking to Ian Foster and he was stating that, yeah, the midfield is probably the most difficult position for him at the moment. You've got RTS and we talk about him quite a lot and he's everywhere in the media. We had the return of Jack Goodhue in this game, which I think he surprisingly played pretty well. Made some good runs. Yeah, it's solid defence. But should Lester Fainga-Nuku look at 12? What do you guys think about that option? You've had Jordy Barrett go there. Why not Lester?
I think 12 for Lester, it's possible for him. We're still trying to replace Ma'are. That is what's going on with the All Blacks. Still trying to find someone suitable like how Ma'a played, which is impossible now. But
so you reckon Ma'a Havili.
Ma'a Havili.
Change his name and we're sort of it, mate. Ma'a good here. You're right. Carry on. Sorry.
But yeah, I just reckon his just passing game needs to get a lot better if you want to play second five.
Yeah, true.
No question about his ball in hand and the strength, man. That guy's so strong.
Yeah.
He's crazy strength at the moment. So, yes, he can, but not now.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Okay. So, look, just to cap it off, I think the one thing that I took out of this game is Crusaders with ball in hand. You just can't give them too much. I mean, look at it. They had 59% position. 37% of that was in the Rebels' half. I wonder why they scored six tries, but I think the biggest stat here is 39 defenders beaten. I mean, where were the bloody tacklers? It's pretty unbelievable, and no wonder the Rebels lost in the end. If you're dropping the ball every time you get it and then you can't make a tackle, of course you're going to let six tries in. So, well done to the Crusaders. So that caps off a really exciting super round of rugby. And I really hope that they actually do another one of these again in New Zealand, however. It'd be great for it to come to the mighty Manawatu, but I see that very unlikely to happen.
Not enough hotels.
True.
Accommodations.
I think
I'll watch it from the TV.
You'll come to my house.
No one wants to go there, Scott. No one wants to go to Manawatu, mate.
But you're right. Yeah, you're right. That's why all the rugby players leave, eh? Oh. Good one. Sad. No, super exciting round. So let's just have a look to see what that's done to the rugby standing. So, Sonny, do you want to take us through what that now looks like after 10 rounds of rugby?
So after 10 rounds, we've got the Blues on top of the table with 36 points. The Brumbies with second with 35 points. You got the mighty Crusaders in third with 33 points. The Reds with a loss, but still top four, 30 points. You got the Chiefs fifth spot with 28 points. The mighty Hurricanes, 24 points. Sixth spot. Seventh spot goes to the Waratahs with 24 points as well. And then you got the Western Force who didn't play due to COVID issues. You're right. 13 points. You got the Rebels down at 11 points and Highlanders, 10th spot with 9. And the Brothers from Fiji, 11th spot with 6 points. And then you got the Uso, Toko Usos from Moana Pacifica with 4 points. In the last spot.
Nice. And I bet all the Auckland fans are loving seeing their Blues at the top of the table there. Unseen for a while.
They've been quiet for ages and now making noise, man.
Yeah.
Sheikas, where they've been?
A sleeping beast, now awoken by the king that is Leon McDonald. Anyway, or the hero.
Hero.
Anyway, all right, it is now that time in the show where we move on to the try of the week. And we're going to follow a similar suit as last week. We've picked two tries and we're going to play the replay in the background and do our own little bit of commentary and sell it. And then Felix is going to be the deciding vote this week. So the first try is try for number two, Dolokoto, which is Fijian Drua's first try of the match. And Sonia is going to take us through this one. Here we go, Sonia. Are you ready?
Yeah, mate, hit me.
Matawalu
gets the ball.
And Talinga putting a little kick through. And this one's been picked up on the fly.
Sorry, bro.
What a great try. What a great response for the Fiji and Drua. Oh, what a response.
How quick that number two?
Hard. My one was delayed.
It was too laggy, man.
Like I saw go from the grubber to the try.
But, man, it went from the halfback passing the ball to the try line, man. Delicato. Delicato, but like I said before, man, they'd done their homework. They saw Bowden Barrett shooting up to the line of the defense on the wing there, and the fullback chip and chase. And then the winger gets the ball, and then he passes it over to the hooker.
Yeah.
Hooker, who looks like a center in their team. They all got the same body, Pozzy Z.
They
all
look the same.
Yeah, all brothers, man. One brother to another brother.
Yeah.
Awesome game. Awesome try.
But the one thing about that try is we talked about it in the previous episode, I think. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Sonic, because I cannot remember. But we talked about where's the short kicking game gone. And there it is.
There it
the
is.
Beauty of it. The magic. And they tried it, what, two more times to no avail. But it's a strong weapon, man, if you can nail it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strong weapon when the wingers and fullbacks are coming in the D line. So,
yeah.
Great work from Fiji doing their homework. It's their coach, man. Former All Blacks coach. So,
yeah.
Very.
My man.
Knows how to. Ma Uso.
Ma.
It's Ma Uso.
That song always comes on. I'm like.
But did you like the song, Scott?
I mean, it's all
what's
good.
Wrong?
Yeah.
No, what's wrong with the song,
Scott? Me song.
Nah, but what wins is the TikTok, eh? We're getting so off subject, but that TikTok is so good.
Have you seen that one, Sonny, where he's like, oos, where there's like a moldy guy and a poly guy, and he's like, Starbulls, and then the poly guy's like, yo, let's go. Oos. Anyway. Okay, let's go on to the second nomination, which is Ethan Black had a try for the Crusaders down the sideline with Pablo Matera. So let's share my screen, and we shall press play.
Well read by Michael Wells, the Rebels captain. Now playing
taking down the ears and Pablo Matera at the sideline. How does he get that pass away? And then. Ethan Blackadder bumping off his own player just to cap it off.
Yeah, that was funny.
How does Pablo get that pass away? That's like literally millimeters. What do you think, Felix? Yeah. Like, that was a pretty good try, but they're both pretty special in their own way, but it's up to you, mate. You are the deciding vote.
I bought you lunch the other day, Felix. I bought you lunch, remember?
At the tuck shop.
No, I do love a good chip and chase, man. And against the top of the table Blues, I can't go past De La Corto's try. So there you have it, folks. That is my vote for the Fijian Indrua Hooker. That is your try of the week. Sorry, nice. Blackadder.
And De La Corto, you win a Kiwi Roots Rugby Podcast fridge magnet. So well done. Coming your way. There you go.
Off topic, do you reckon Blackadder's better than his dad?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, I reckon he. His dad reminds me of the English captain that won the World Cup 2003.
Martin?
Martin Johnson.
Martin Johnson, yeah.
He got too big for Locke. But he was a great leader. Great leader, but Gaia, like a Reuben Thorn.
Reuben Thorn. Jeez, I haven't heard that name for a while. What about Xavier Rush?
He's a battler.
Yeah, he's a battler. Anywho, all right. So that goes for try of the week. Let's move on to some of the talking points of the round. So what about the crowd numbers? You guys happy with the crowd numbers? You expected more? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think for a showpiece event, they're probably not happy with those numbers, but with rugby union perhaps being, the third or fourth choice as far as, sporting events go, I think that's just the reality that those folks in Melbourne need to get used to. But it's, this is the first one and you have to make a statement, and, 30,000 for a super game is not bad whatsoever. I personally thought it was okay. But it's not a bad first hit out. So,
yeah, nice. And let's go back to the short kicking game. And I'm going to cross over to you, Sonia. But why do you think we're seeing that come back this weekend? We saw three tries: Drua's try, Rebels try for Hodge, Hurricanes try for Sullivan. What do you think's forcing teams to do that? Because it's almost like they all came out in one hit, like they're all doing the same game plan session or something.
I think it's a lot to do with defense patterns these days.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're pushing up the centers real quick in the D-line, which is giving a lot of space behind them. And that's where the kicking game, short kicking game could be used. But there's a lot of those guys, like we saw Jackson Garden-Bashop, he just gave that a cracky. That was advantage. Do something with it, you know?
Yeah.
Which was awesome to see, because you see a lot of great tries with the short kicking game in rugby league, and it would be good to bring it back to rugby union. So,
I really like that guy, Jackson Garden-Bashop. But let's move on.
Jackson.
I just wanted to throw that one out there.
Jackson got me. My cousin, I'm allowed to say his name like that.
And talking about, now that we've seen the Australia and New Zealand teams combine, let's look at some comparisons. So I want to hear your thoughts. Whether you think, you know, we saw the same or different sort of level or style of play. So in terms of physicality, was it the same as we've been seeing, or do you think New Zealand is a little bit better? Just real short and sharp. Felix, what do you think?
I think it's the same, but perhaps not the same. Not for the full 80 the New Zealand teams are.
Right.
That's what I was going with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with Felix. Just not the full 80. They play up to 60th or 65th minute and then start giving up then. So,
Nice. Style of play. I can probably start this one, but I think it's quite similar, to be honest. There's a lot of fast running rugby. Teams look to try and play structured rugby, but speed and pace seem to be the style of play we're seeing from both teams. Discipline levels, I think it's pretty much the same, eh? You guys all agree? Still yellow cards, head high tackles, bloody ill discipline when the pressure comes on. Actually, on the breakdown, I don't know if you guys, did you guys watch the breakdown?
I watched it. It was, real they good got chat pretty, about yeah. this, actually. Yeah. And I really enjoyed that chat.
Yeah. Because who's the guy? Who's the other guy? Not Jeff Wilson.
John Kerwin?
Yeah, John Kerwin, JK. He raised a really good point around finding players, and then he started bringing in other leagues like the NBA and the NFL. And
yeah, I totally agree, because that's my I follow a lot of American sport, like you know, Scotty, and that's always my reference point whenever I see sort of blemishes on the rugby game and how they need to improve as far as like trying to sell a global product. You know, the NFL and the NBA, you could even throw in the English Premier League, are the gold standard when it comes to, you know, like not taking any crap from their players. And it's as if, you know, that was like some of the best commentary that I've seen from the folks on the breakdown. And it's about time that we started looking at the players, not as like it's your fault, but like there needs to be something in the background to sort of scare them enough to drop that tackle height from the outset. And I don't want to hear these excuses from the players like it's not possible, because we saw in that Hurricanes Reds match that adjusting in real time is fully possible. Did you see when we got penalized earlier with the tip tackle. Then later on in the match, who was it? Aiden Morgan. He went and picked that guy up halfway and he dropped him because of the earlier sin binning. Mm. And it's like, look, he just made an adjustment in real time because of what happened earlier. It is possible and the players can do it. There just needs to be something in the background to maybe scare them a little into making, you know, like almost overcompensating on their, you know, on their actions, because we're just going to keep seeing it. It's going to be the new fact of life when we're watching rugby, is these stoppages. So it's not good, man. What do you make of it, Sonny?
I agree with you, Felix. Like Aidan Morgan dropping the guy, which could possibly have been worse if he was in a different angle. But my concern is with tackles to the head. Like I said earlier on, is that we don't have control of ball runners, the way they run the ball. If they're going to run head down, you got to lie down on the floor and tackle, you know?
Artie does a real good job. He does that drag down technique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he drags them down, and then that's why he's so good over the ball, is when he does that awkward tackle technique, because he obviously doesn't want to get pinged. And he's probably the only one that does that more than any other player.
It's the issue is when they change their head at the
for the second tackler, right? Because the first tackler always goes low.
Yeah, for the last second before he gets into contact, and I'm all for it for player health and safety. But man, sometimes it's really hard to change. You're not going to get it right all the time, but.
Yeah.
We need to do something that we can get right most of the time. So,
yeah.
Bro, off topic, how was it me or was that field crap on Saturday, on Friday, Saturday?
It's like they're playing on ice.
Bro, hard. And then get to the NRL game on Monday. Perfect.
Groundskeeper Willie is obviously a league fan.
Yeah, hard. knock-ons everywhere, everyone's slipping.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
The last point I just want to make on that, which I, only reason I'm saying it is because I think it's quite a valid one, and I never thought of it in this light when JK pointed out that the game that these guys are putting on TV is a product at the end of the day. And, you know, parents are watching this game, and if we're going to get the next generation coming through, you know, do we want them seeing a game where guys are getting knocked out and people are getting sent off left, right, and center? But it just looked like such a dangerous game to play. Of course, go play soccer or basketball, whatever it may be. There's so many other sports out there. But yeah, I really did agree with him on that front. And that's when I sort of leaned towards, start monetizing these penalties for these players. So,
There are stoppages in all those other games that you mentioned, you know, like the NFL. They throw the yellow flag and they do video replays. It's the norm. It's the norm because, you know, the NFL was probably the best case study as far as head injuries go. Like that completely blew up in their league, which is just as physical as rugby. So why not steal from them some inspiration as to how to tidy up that area of the game.
I think we should shuffle along to MVP. For 1 point this week, Sonia, would you like to introduce our winner for 1 point this week?
TK Howden, 1 point goes to you for a great game, solid in defense. I don't think he missed a tackle, but between him and Artie and Flanker, they've got 20 tackles, 20 tackles each. So well done to him. Great start. First start for Howden, and hope to see him cement that sixth spot.
Also from the
Manawatu,
by the way.
Also from the
Manawatu. Oh, no, I want to change my 1 point now.
Too late, bro. He's locked in.
Bro, him and Braden Yossi are the future, eh?
Wow. So,
those two are crazy, man.
Crazy.
And another one from the Manawatu, Jake Gordon.
Good old Jake Gordon doing his best Flash Gordon impression with that intercept try. This guy was electric and was a huge part of that Waratahs comeback. Scotty, he gets 2 points. Even in a losing effort, these guys get a good shout out. So
nice.
Nice. Yeah, if guys can put teams on their back, you're going to be an MVP. Well done.
Well done. And our three-point winner and MVP for round 10 this week goes to Jonah Lowe from the Chiefs. If you score four tries, surely you're a shoo-in. Pretty sure we gave it to Kurt Eklund as well. So there you go. Good man. Well done, Jonah Lowe. Really quickly, guys, let's go to our predictions for round 11. All right.
Round 11.
That's round right. 11. So just really quickly, we'll go around the table. Reds versus Chiefs on the Friday night. Sonny?
Chiefs, mate.
Felix?
Oh, I want to go Reds. They're disappointed. They're going to make a splash. Watch out.
Hey. You're actual Red supporter, okay. Hey, not a Hurricanes.
Yeah. Take that red shirt off. I'm going Chiefs for this one.
Don't sleep on Brad Thorne, man. He's the man. Anyways.
Saturday, Force versus the Blues. I'm going to go Blues.
Easy. Blues.
Blues.
And then the Drua versus Highlanders.
Surely the Fijian Drua got to get up, man. They learned something in that Blues match on how to beat New Zealand teams and watch them step it up a notch against the Highlanders. I'm so looking forward to this match. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm going with Highlanders. I reckon Aaron Smith.
Oh, no.
Direct the game.
Have you been watching the rugby or?
Yeah. Watch this, bro. Highlanders, $5, then.
Oh shit.
Deal.
The wages on.
Kiwi Roots getting into some TAB action now.
Gamble responsible. Anyway. I'm going for the draw in this one. Next game, Waratahs versus the Crusaders. Gotta be the Crusaders.
Yeah, Crusaders.
Yeah, Crusaders, too good.
Good man. All right, Rebels versus the Moana. Probably one of the most interesting games of the round, actually. Felix, I'm going to start with you, mate.
Mate, I'm backing the Moana Pacifica team to upset the Melbourne Rebels. They're, you know, reeling from that huge loss against the Crusaders. And I think a rested Moana, who didn't get to play, come into this fresh and they blow this team away. What do you reckon, Sonny?
Yeah, Moana... probably going to go one off the upset. They've had a good week off, but mind you, they nearly had a month off now during the rugby season for their delays. So yeah. Moana for the win.
Yeah, nice. I'll go Moana as well. And finally, on the Sunday, we've got the Brumbies versus the Hurricanes. Ooh, this is a tricky one. Let's go in reverse. Sonny, come on. Tell us. Lead us.
Oh, bro, fun fact. I was at the last game and when the Hurricanes played the Brumbies in Canberra.
Is that the one where Doop scored?
Yeah. That might be the one before that. And the Hurricanes is their bogey ground, man. But stay tuned.
Really? Oh, tuned. Okay. Oh,
Hurricanes.
No.
Hurricanes.
Bro, it's so hard to pick, man. Brumbies coming off a win against the Highlanders and they'll be feeling themselves against the Hurricanes. I really want to pick them, but I went against the Hurricanes and picked the Reds last week and I got that one wrong. So this weekend, I'm going to back my boys in yellow and go for the Canes. Let's go.
No, don't. Go Brumbies, man.
Yeah. Now, Hurricanes for me as well. So that does it for round 11. So good luck to all those teams. And that actually does it for this episode, episode 26. And man, this was a bloody long episode. So let's start. Thank you, Sonny, for joining us. Really appreciate you coming on the pod. I think you might have passed the test, mate. So you're welcome on board again if you wish.
I can't wait for my check to come in the mail, man.
You get a sticker as well, actually. No, but thanks everybody for joining and listening. Please make sure you follow us on our social media, Facebook and TikTok. Just search up Kiwi Roots Rugby Podcast. That'll do us for another episode. Look forward to the next one. See you guys later.
Ciao.
See you guys. Bye.